Welcome to the Fabric Podcast. These messages are intended to spark your own reflections and conversations all week and beyond. That's why you can find it anytime along with other resources and ways to keep the conversation going at fabricmpls.com/scraps.
Hey, podcast listeners, this is Greg Meyer, and I am not coming to you from Minnehaha Falls Park, where I was supposed to deliver this message this morning, but instead from our Fabric Podcast studio. Yeah, we got there, got everything all set up, and it started to rain, and it just kept raining, and so this is how it's happening today. Anyway, the message stays the same. Yeah, it's too bad we couldn't be out at the falls today. We love being out there a bunch of times throughout the summer. It's a great place for us. The Minnehaha Creek meandering through these beautiful neighborhoods is just such a gorgeous thing. You know, what's not to like? But when you think about it, think about this innocent little stream flowing through these wonderful neighborhoods and this beautiful scenery, just minding its own business until it starts getting close to where the falls are. And you probably can hear this distant roar in the background. And as the creek starts wondering, I wonder what's happening here, it goes shooting out over this 53-foot ledge of the falls, plummeting to its own doom on the rocks below. Yeah, okay, so that's a little overly dramatic. It is just a stream, right? But I think maybe what I'm doing is I'm projecting my own angst of my summertime leisure shooting over the waterfall of Labor Day into the too busy, too scheduled, too committed fall that awaits me. How about you? You ready for the onslaught? Are you all buckled in and ready to go? Now, I sincerely hope that you don't feel that way about the fall, or at least not quite so dramatically, but my guess is that a lot of us do have some anxiety popping up around that. Now, here's the truth. The truth is that whether you feel swept away or in control, you need to know a couple things as you make this transition from summer leisure to autumn routine. You need to know who you are, what's important to you, and what your needs are. Let me repeat those. Who you are, what's important to you, and what your needs are. I think we can all agree that those are some basic, important things for us to know so that we can put this next episode of our lives together. Unfortunately, we don't often have or take the time for the kind of reflection that allows us to figure those things out. And I can't do it for you, and you don't have enough time while you listen to this podcast to put it together for yourself either. But I can help you start. And more importantly, we, Fabric, can be the kind of community that will help you keep this exploration alive while you're still making all the necessary course adjustments that you'll need along the way. And believe me, you will need to make some. So, the three questions. First one is, who are you? Yes, I know, you've got a name, you've got an address, maybe a job and a title, but that's not what I'm talking about. Who really, inside, under all the layers of the stuff you do, are you? With Fabric, we often refer to that as your true or your inner self, your whole self. Can I be blunt and say that this is a part of you that matters, even if few people give you credit for it? Okay, that's the first question. The second question, what's important to you? The fact is that there are more things vying for your attention, your time, your money, and your allegiance than you can fit into your one wild life. And most of them don't want it for your sake, but for theirs. You are a means to their end, a resource for their ambition. So what are you going to do? Everything that's asked of you? Or choose among the choices that are given to you? Or will you decide what's important to you and forge your own way through life with that in hand? What's important to you? The third question is, what are your needs? This is your reality trip. The third question is, what are your needs? This is your reality check. Truth is, you have to eat. Clothing isn't a bad idea, and neither is having a space to live. Health insurance isn't a luxury, and you may have a partner, kids, friends, or any of a million other conditions that restrict your choices. This may be a philosophical question, but it has to work in your real-life situation. Now, a couple thousand years ago, there was this rebel wandering around the Middle East, upsetting the status quo, calling people out for not living according to whom they truly were, what was most important, and what their needs were. He was developing a powerful reputation, a following, and influence. His name, as you probably guessed by now, was Jesus. So one day, a man comes up to him, a wealthy young man, the story tells us, and asks him the question we'd all like to ask. Rabbi, teacher, he says, which was the respectful way of referring to a sage or a mentor in those days, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Okay. So you'd never ask the question that way, and neither would I. But remember, this was a couple thousand years ago. And while people are people, and big questions of life never change, how we see them and how we talk about them does. What he is saying is, what is the key to life? What am I supposed to do that I know will make everything be okay in my life? And Jesus tells him, you know the commandments, keep them. Jesus here is referring to the Ten Commandments and even names a couple. And here we need to understand Jesus' answer in the context of his era. You see, the Ten Commandments weren't the ten rules everyone had to follow or they were going to be in trouble. No, they were sort of the cliff notes on how the world works, about being in true relationship with each other in the world. What Jesus was telling him was not what he had to do to go to heaven, but that people who live this way find that life has no limits. So the man then says to Jesus, well, I have kept them all. And then he goes on and says something that is really, really important. He says, what else am I missing? That stopped Jesus in his tracks. He looks at the man, and maybe he just sees an overachiever, but my guess is that Jesus saw in him the awareness that following the rules wasn't what it was all about, that the commandments are about something deeper, something inward, something that can only come from the heart. Remember, the man didn't ask, what else must I do, but what else am I missing? Why do I still feel incomplete? So Jesus tells him, if you wish to be perfect, okay, stop right there. Okay, we have to pause at this word, perfect. It is not the best word to translate what was written in the Greek. A better word would be complete or whole. What Jesus told him was, if you want to feel what's missing, if you want to be whole, complete, doing the real thing from the inside out, then go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor and come and follow me. Now, let's be clear. Again, Jesus wasn't declaring the end of personal ownership, nor was he trying to recruit the man into his inner circle. He knew the man's heart, and he was telling him, if you really want to have nothing between you and a complete life, then say no to the stuff that is standing between you and it, and say yes to the path that leads towards it. Well, he couldn't do it. The story says the young man walked off distressed. I translate it, torn up inside, because he had many possessions. Ultimately, who he was, what was most important, and what his needs were, gave way to what he could hold in his hands. Solving his life, finding his security, finding his way with what was outside him, not what was inside him. So, who are you? What's important to you? And what are your needs? If you haven't taken the time to start sorting this out, a project that will take a lifetime, then this might be the time to start. And like I said, I don't know the answer. But here are a few pieces that I am very confident are basic parts of the journey that does begin to answer those questions for each and every one of us, and they apply to everyone, everywhere. So that first question, who are you? Well, first, you are not just another person, one more off the conveyor belt who could be substituted by someone else. No, you are amazing. You are unique and irreplaceable. You need you, that real person always forming deep inside of you. And the world needs you too. There never was nor never will be another you. And please, please don't let yourself be flattened out into just one more shiny copy of the person du jour, the popular mode of people that is held up to us in magazines and TV shows and movies and social media. You're too important for that. And, you know, when you begin this journey of discovering who you are, looking for that inner self, you're going to find some things that you don't like. It can be scary, and that's okay. It's normal. It's called growth. It means that things that have been hidden too long are beginning to be unearthed. Things are going to be changing. And like I said, that's okay because that's why you're doing this. You're going to also find that the more inner work you do, the further you discover you are from the goal. And don't be discouraged by that. That gap isn't a reflection of how badly you are doing, but of how much possibility exists within you. Celebrate. Press on. That question, what am I still missing, is a good and a healthy one for those who wish to be whole. Yeah, so that first question, who are you? The second question, what's important to you? You know, this usually gets treated as a transactional question, like, what's worth your time, your energy, your money? But it's not. It's not about your time, your energy, your money, your prestige, career, any of that. Just like Jesus was trying to tell that man in the story. Here's what we all need to know. You don't know what's important for you. You, on your own, can't know it. You need to get outside and inside yourself for that. You are a unique individual, yes, but you are designed from the chromosomes on up to find your meaning in the context of others and in some other stuff that just can't be measured, stuff your heart feels, your spirit resonates with, but that you will never fully comprehend or be able to rationalize. If your settled self tells you something is important, stop and listen to it and consider getting rid of whatever is keeping you from it so that you can start following it. You know, the dilemma about this discovering what's important to you is that life pulls you both away from yourself and at the same time isolates you from others. Short-term, short-sighted, superficial goodies get dangled in front of your eyes and in front of mine every day, distracting us from the stuff life is really made of. And so to deal with all that, you need commitments in your life that connect you more deeply. We've designed Fabric to be that sort of community. Not to make everyone happy, nor to be the best show in town, nor we're neither of those things, but to connect and to reconnect us with what really matters. If you have commitments crowding your schedule, your attention, your resources that don't move you toward your center, towards what's most important, refuse to give them the space they demand. And if you have commitments that move you toward your center, well, then make more space for those. What's important to you? The third question, what are your needs? This is your context. Are you a student making decisions that are going to inform your whole life? Are you in a relationship trying to navigate life with another person? Do you have kids who are dependent on you and their needs call the shots first? Are you dealing with pressures from work or finances, extended family, mental, emotional, physical health? Those are not, oh, by the way, type things. No, they're real. You aren't in a vacuum. You've got to deal with your circumstances. But while you have to deal with those needs, and they are real, it doesn't mean that you are a victim of them. You aren't the victim, you're the transformer of them. So don't gloss over them, push them behind you, hide, or give into shame about them. But take what you are learning about who you are and what is important to you, and use it as a lens to take a new look at what may be givens in your life or may only feel like givens. And decide what you will take up and follow and what you will let go of and leave. So today is Labor Day weekend. The fall has begun. You're making commitments, some conscious, some unconscious, some deliberate, many by default. And as you do that, you're setting up habits with those. Some of the not so good ones will create ruts that you'll get stuck in, and some of the better ones will create pathways that will speed you on your way. You will live with the ruts and the pathways, but not only you. So will the people around you that you have influence over. Your children will look at you and say, oh, this is how life is lived, and they will walk in your ruts and your pathways as if it is all simply normal. So take the time to make good decisions around this. And don't fall for the illusion that there is some perfect solution to it or that it can all be taken care of right now. There's not, and it can't. But that doesn't mean there aren't better and worse choices to be made. So three questions. Who are you? what is important to you, and what are your needs. Keep them in front of you. They lead to a fuller life, the kind that doesn't feel like it runs out, but is running into something bigger. Then we, Fabric, will do our best to live in them together with you.
Thanks for listening. We hope you take this conversation and keep it going. If we are adding value to your life, we appreciate your support of this work so we can engage more people in these conversations that matter for their real lives too. You can do that at fabricmpls.com/give. We'd also love to have you join us any Sunday morning at 10:30 at Field Community School in Minneapolis. That's at 4645 4th Avenue South. There are opportunities for kids of all ages to connect to. Learn more by searching Fabric Minneapolis.